Back to you, Dan.
Back to me. Wow, what happened to you there? Back to you, Dan?
I went out, so I'm supposed to finish those on a down note, and then you take it and go. For some reason, I finished that one on an upwards note, suggesting I had more to read, realizing I didn't, and all I came up with is old newsy. Back to you, Dan.
All right, very good. Thank you. Thank you, Stugatz. Ron Miguel joins us now if you want to talk to him. 786-456-4837 is the telephone number. Want to get to your calls. Amin El Hassan has a question. Roy has a question. But let's lead off here with Brad. Brad, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, Ron. I was just wondering, are animals at the zoo as picky about the temperature of their food as people are?
Not necessarily. You know, as we get older animals, it's not as much temperature, but palatability. In other words, they like things cut a certain way. They don't want the pieces too big. Or they don't want them too small. Some like them minced. Some like them sliced. So it depends on the palatability, the form of the food, more than the temperature.
Dave, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Ron. I have two cats, a boy and a girl. The girl drinks her water normally, but the boy just swaps his water and licks it off his paw. Why does he do that?
You know, to each his own. Different animals have different ways of doing things. You just need to monitor the amount of water that they're getting, because cats are notorious for kidney disease, kidney failure, especially in their older age. So if you start noticing that they're drinking a lot of water, I would certainly bring it to the vet to get it checked, because like I said, kidney disease is a very common problem, especially in senior cats.
Lewis, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Lewis, you're on with McGill. Go ahead.
Hey, Ron. Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of Egyptian goose in my backyard, and they seem to have laid a nest about 60 days ago or so. I did my research, and they were supposed to hatch 30 days in. What's going on?
Hopefully he's shooting blanks, because the bottom line is we don't need more Egyptian geese here. They're you know, a non-native species. They're very aggressive. They can go after native species. So for me, the more sterile Egyptian geese we have, the better.
Amin, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Ron, when people think about sharks, they always talk about the great white shark. That's the famous shark. But my favorite shark is the Mako shark. So I wanted to know, what's another species of animal that has a famous kind of representative, but you actually like a less famous version of it?
Well, you know, I'm going to go with the leopard, the African leopard. Everybody looks at the leopard. African leopard is, you know, the leopard up in the tree, the classic picture. Everybody, when you go on safari to Africa, that's the animal you want to see, the rarest of the big five. But to me, the real star in the leopard family is the snow leopard, the one that's found up well over 10,000 feet in the Mongolian mountain range. This is one of the most amazing animals on Earth, very rarely seen by human beings, spectacular looking. I've seen these things grab a prey and fall down a mountainside over 1,000 feet, over 1,000 feet, and survive, still not letting go of the prey. So look up snow leopard. That is the bang-up bomb ditty of leopards.
How rare was that planet Earth footage? The snow leopard isn't often caught on camera, is it?
Incredibly rare. I mean, that's the, you know, that's now the kind of like the you know, golden pipe, the holy grail of wildlife photographers, is to catch a wild snow leopard acting naturally in the wild. So yes, those Nat Geo guys, you know, they're the gods of animal photography. Those guys will spend weeks, months, sometimes years in an effort to get, you know, 15 seconds of great video.
You've never seen one, right?
Never seen one in the wild. No, that's on my bucket list, but I don't know if I'll live that long.
Kyle, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, Ron. It's Kyle from Virginia. Hey, I have a pair of red-shouldered hawks that have been coming to my back deck every year for about 8 or 9 years. Every day, as soon as somebody pulls in the driveway, they're both sitting on the back deck. And people have fed them steaks and all kinds of other foods. I'm wondering, is it weird that people are feeding them and that they just keep coming back every single day? Or
well, It's not weird that they keep coming back every single day if people are feeding them. My concern is what the people are feeding them. You know, yeah, they'll eat steak and they'll think it's great, it tastes good, but they're not getting all the nutrients they necessarily need. And I'm hoping that it's not taking away from their natural hunting of going after small mammals and full bodies because they need that full carcass. They need the hair. They need the internal organs. They need all those things that have the vitamins to keep them going. But again, you know, you can have some kid, if you're going to give them popcorn and cotton candy every day, they're going to keep coming and they're going to keep eating it. They're going to get fat. They're not going to be able to process a lot of the normal foods they need to process, and they're going to get sick. So that's my big concern and the reason why we tell people don't feed wild animals. You know, if you want to have a bird feeder in your backyard for seeds during the winter to help those birds, but birds of prey, gosh, don't feed them. We need them to go out and get rats and mice.
You mentioned your bucket list, Ron. What else is on it along with seeing a snow leopard in the wild?
Seeing a snow leopard in the wild, seeing a panda in the wild, a Chinese panda in the wild, and seeing a platypus in the wild.
A platypus? Really?
Why is
a platypus as rare to see in the wild?
It's fairly rare. It's not, you know, it's not in danger or anything, but it's not as big as people think. It's a very shy animal. Again, aquatic. It's one of only two egg-laying mammals. I mean, you know, when you think of a mammal laying an egg, that's pretty freaking cool. Not to mention it also has a very venomous spine on the base of its tail that it can give you a pretty venomous injection.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Did you know the platypus could be venomous and inject you? Chris, what do you have for Ron McGill? never mind.
Ron, if you could turn into any animal for the weekend, what animal would it be? And there's a couple things to factor in here. Your health is not guaranteed, and you have your brain.
Harpy eagle. There's no question about it. It's my favorite animal. If I had to pick a favorite animal, it's that bird. Lives in the most incredible, beautiful tropical forest. Has no natural predators. It is at the top of the food chain. Thing's got this majestic crest. It's got talons the size of grizzly bear claws. Flies like a fighter pilot. That's the animal I want to be for a week. For a lifetime, that'd be great.
Devin, you are on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Devin.
Hey, guys. It's Devin. Hey, Ron, you've said before that the running backs of the animal kingdom would be elephants or the rhinoceros. Who would be your receivers or quarterbacks?
For my receiver, I'm going to go with a cheetah. You know, fastest land animal on earth, short sprints, quick cuts. You know, and before Stu got said something, well, how is he going to catch the ball? He's going to catch it in his teeth. Listen, we're talking about the ability to run and go after something, okay? I'm not saying he's going to catch it because then that's not, you know, the rhino can't really hold the football. The elephant could in his trunk. But anyway, so I would go with the cheetah as a wide receiver. And as the quarterback, you know, again, his ability to throw is going to be tough. But I would go with the dolphin just because of the intelligence. You're talking massive intelligence there. They can really plot things out.
It's a terrible choice.
Why is it a terrible choice?
Because he's going to have a passing problem, and furthermore, he's not going to be very elusive as a runner.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something.
30 years of dolphins playing football poorly to know that they're not good at it?
Okay, listen, before you guys start going on to the dolphin things, okay? He doesn't have to pass it with his... You ever seen a dolphin hit a ball with his tail? Flip the ball with the tail?
I have not.
He'll throw it further than you can, Mr. Levitard.
But what about the accuracy? Flipping it with his tail? The ball's going to always be out in the open. It's going to be a turnover machine.
Dolphins probably look at human beings and go, how do they do anything with accuracy? You know what? You train yourself. You have the physical ability to do so. You can do it. Okay, so this is what I'm talking about. We're talking about hypotheticals here, guys. Okay, so the dolphin can do it. He can flip upside down and flip. Now, again, a dolphin's on land. So I'm assuming that the dolphin is going to be in water. We're talking about an animal in its natural environment. What position would I want it to play? I want a dolphin to play quarterback. It's a big animal. It's going to be hard to bring down. Talking could be, you know, 700-800 pounds, big dolphin. And that tail, oh, Lord have mercy. He can stiff tail people coming in, boom, block them out, knock them right down. No problem. You guys got to think this stuff through. You're good with the sports, but with the animal stuff, you guys really suck.
Ron, why has no one trained a dolphin to be a quarterback then?
Because football isn't played in the water.
Oh, yeah, there's that. The dolphin would just die in the backfield there. It would just die. Thank you, Billy. Excellent work by you, as always. Excellent question for McGill. Thank you, McGill. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week, guys. Bye-bye.
That was a real question.
Raindrop, drop top. Time to read the script for a hot spot.
I mean, in my scenario, you'd have a tank on wheels and you can move it around. Oh, come on, don't be silly. Obviously, you wouldn't just throw a dolphin out there without water. Fish out of water, you know?
Thank you, Billy. I appreciate you asking Ron McGill that question of why hasn't anyone just trained a dolphin to be a quarterback?
And well, he made it seem that simple. He's like, well, you know, the difference between humans and dolphins is training. Dolphins could be trained to be quarterbacks. Well, if it's that simple, why hasn't someone done it?
Yeah. Okay. You're going to double down on that. Excellent. I think
fish out of water.
I think McGill explained it to you. The dolphin on the first snap would be gasping and would die in front of the NFL audience. That's why, because it needs water.
But the dolphin without training does sound like an upgrade from Ryan Fitzpatrick, does it not?
You've been just trying to get in that Fitzpatrick joke from whichever angle you could. You were just going to do that. You tried it before. You tried to sneak it in. Just useless. I mean, as basketball comes back here tonight, what's the best that you've heard or you've got for me on Lou Williams? And Lou Williams, people really enjoy laughing at the Lou Williams story because it fits some of the stereotypes and cliches on, NBA guys. So what do you make of Lou Williams fouling up the protocol by going to get chicken wings at a strip club in Atlanta?
So there's two sides of this. The one side of it is, regardless of whether it was harmless or not, the NBA is always going to come down hard on someone who breaks a rule that they hold very near and dear to them. I brought up the example in 2007 when Steve Nash got hip checked by Robert Horry. Amari Stoudemire, Boris Diaw got off the bench just to take a look at what was going on, and they got suspended for it because the league said, this is a rule that we hold very near and dear. And even though we know you guys weren't going there to fight, it doesn't matter. We're going to make an example out of you. And those guys got suspended for a playoff game. Similarly, Lou Williams, even though it was no different than going to Wingstop or somewhere like that, they were going to make an example out of him, and he just has to accept that. But the other side of this is the guy, the rapper Jack Harlow. What are you doing, guy? Why you got to live your life on Instagram? Why you got to tag me on it? Why can't you just take the picture and save it and show it to your friends later on? Or maybe post it like months later when all of this is over. Why did you feel the need to tag it immediately? You're supposed to be famous. You got to act like you've been there before, bro. He owes. You know what? If I'm Lou Williams, I'm sending him a Venmo request. You owe me $86,000 a game, $172,000 total.
Stugatz, that was weak, because it's not just that Harlow did that to Lou Williams. It's that he also then tried to cover his tracks the way Stugatz would, with just the lamest of lies. That I miss Lou Will. That picture was from a long time ago.
I mean, just there is Stugatz stuff all over this story, okay? Harlow is the worst wingman in the history of wingmen. Okay, I mean, Amina's right.
Yes, but Lou Williams is also a wingman in this scenario, a wingman willing to go get wings even if it costs tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, but you're right. I've often said that the food at strip clubs is delicious, but I am telling you, okay, anyone, and the Stugatz is strong in Lou, anyone suggesting they were just going to the strip club for the wings is flat out lying. I am sorry. That is a bull-faced lie.
No, it's not a lie.
Really?
Not a lie. I've lived in Atlanta. I've been to Magic City. I have been to Magic City specifically for the chicken wings. They are that good. It's not an exaggeration. He's not kidding. He's not lying. They are amazing. And anyone who's a wing aficionado knows you can't get wings to go. You got to get them nice and fresh right out of the kitchen. Attack them right there at the table. You can't waste precious minutes getting in a car and driving somewhere else. Where is he driving? How far away does he live? You can't risk that with these delicious, amazing wings. I stand with Lou Williams on that. And as a matter of fact, on my podcast, Black Opinions Matter, we open it up to the listeners. Where are the best strip club cuisines from around the nation? And you know what? A couple of Miami spots got some votes.
Did you know, Amin, that Stugatz, last time we discussed strip clubs with him, explained to us his elaborate technique of pouring gasoline on himself in order to get the scent of the club off of him? Gasoline would go to the gas station and would come home smelling like gas. Like
it's the only thing that works.
Instead of the strip club.
What's the reasoning? When they say, why do you smell like gas? What would she say?
Well, I would say I was filling up the tank on the way home, and a little gasoline seeped out. I had it in there a little bit too long, and I took the nozzle out, a little bit got on my shirt, you know? Worked every time, like a charm.
Pablo Torre next. Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Did you know that Haagen-Dazs didn't have any actual meaning? Chris Cody has a question for Pablo Torre here. Pablo Torre, he interviews Dr. Fauci on ESPN Daily here today. We'll get to that in a second with Pablo. Also, this story from ESPN.com on the abuses in China as well. But Chris Cody has a question for Pablo Torre first. What is it, Chris?
Well, you know, Pablo just took over this podcast, ESPN Daily, and it seems it hasn't taken him very long to get what I'm calling, I think, the biggest guest in ESPN Daily history. And I'm wondering if there's some friction there and how Mina feels about that.
We have a very solid locker room, Chris. Mina is a part of the family. She knows that she is always going to be a part of this family, even as I absolutely steamroll her before even taking over the show officially, in all of the ways you described, because you're absolutely right. What a guest. ESPN has never had this dude, and he comes on my podcast when I'm a substitute host. That's pretty incredible, I got to admit. Very good point, Chris.
Yeah, but isn't that what Leno was saying about Conan, and then a couple weeks later, he was back and doing the job again?
You know what? As somebody who hasn't done like 2 years of HR webinars, which I realized this morning, there are so many different excuses ESPN could have for demoting me for all sorts of reasons. So that's also a useful reminder.
Here's an idea. How about we leave Fauci alone and let him worry and solve the pandemic? I mean, he's the best we have at this. Hey, throwing out the first pitch. I mean, hanging out with Steph Curry, doing all these public appearances. Now he's on the daily with you, Pablo. Here's a suggestion. Leave him alone and let him solve the pandemic. How about that?
Well, first of all, Stugatz, I hear you. I understand you. But the job of Dr. Fauci is to communicate with the public. I think we sort of misunderstand what his actual function is. As the guy who was out in front of the AIDS epidemic in Ebola through all of these different bipartisan administrations, his job is kind of behavior modification. So something that I talked about with him was there are all these anti-vaxxer athletes, right? Novak Djokovic, Dwight Howard, even Michael Porter Jr. this week. How do you convince those guys to actually adopt a vaccine? And his thing is, I can't be derogatory to them. I need to sort of build a coalition. I got to get other athletes. He sort of said on the podcast, breaking a little bit of hypothetical news, which is a term that I think stands. He's saying he's going to end up enlisting athletes to actually help promote the vaccine when it comes out, hopefully in early fall in the winter, because his job is to convince people that this is a thing worth taking super seriously. And luckily, I am the platform to do it on, even though I was not wearing pants while I was interviewing him, which is something that I'm breaking news for right now.
Chris, why is it that you were just pantomiming the playing of a violin there? What were you doing, and why was Amin laughing so hard at you doing it?
I mean, Pablo just did his thing where he just started saying words that no one's ever heard before. I mean, did you talk to him about the pitch? Did you talk to him about the first pitch, Pablo?
That was the very first question I had, Chris, because I knew I needed to lure you in with a cheeseburger before I threw all of this broccoli down your throat. All of the nutrition must follow the cheeseburger. So the cheeseburger was delicious. I mean, he gave up the goods on it. He said he practiced for a really long time, putting one foot in front of the other at like a little field that's not a major league pitching mound distance. He realized when he got out there and stared at Sean Doolittle that he had measured out about 45 feet and suddenly had to do a 60 feet, 6 inches throw. And meanwhile, by the way, he's 70 bleeping 9 years old. And so what happened was entirely unsurprising given all of those circumstances, I would have to argue.
He didn't practice long enough, but this is exactly my point, okay? Fauci spending time working on his first pitch for opening day Major League Baseball season in a shortened season that no one cares about. We have world pandemic going on. I want to get back to football, college football, fans in the stadium, gambling. I want some normalcy. And here we are. Fauci's working on the first pitch backyard.
It is. You have done this so gracefully in terms of not wanting to actually rip Fauci, but you're ripping Pablo for talking to Fauci, for bothering him and keeping him from the pandemic. Chris, I'm sorry. Do you think this is a violin? Are you of the opinion that that is what a violin sounds like, Chris?
I'm playing charades here through Zoom to Roy, okay? I'm sorry I don't know the exact instrument.
No, I didn't. That's why I asked you. I mean, that is clearly a piano, and you pantomimed it by doing a violin. It's either a piano or a xylophone.
I believe it's not a xylophone.
Wait. Yeah, I was going to go like harp mandolin before I went piano xylophone. This is actually something we should resolve.
All right, so what is it? What the hell is it?
It's not a string instrument. That's what it's not.
You got it as a harp, Pablo? You've got this as a harp?
A harp with really tightly wound strings. Maybe a lute. Can I give you a lute?
We've got to figure this out because I do not think. Where'd you come up with a harp from? This has to be closer to a piano than a harp. All right, we'll figure this out.
What you guys don't realize is that this entire time, Chris has been pantomiming a violin. I have been pantomiming myself playing a harp. So this is actually really worrisome to realize.
All right. This is jarring. ESPN Daily is, why would Fauci give this person who doesn't know what a harp sounds like this kind of time? What is happening with China and human rights violations on a serious note? Because this ESPN.com story, in which the coaches out there working on behalf of the NBA are talking about how abusive the coaches there in China were with the players. You read this story and your reaction is what as the NBA continues to have this relationship with China that I don't think is terribly complicated. I just think that it makes a lot of money for the NBA and we're all kind of compromised on this one.
Yeah, my first reaction is I am so proud that ESPN published this story, and we're going to have the Finarus on ESPN Daily next week to talk about how this story came about because it's fascinating and it's worrisome and it's insane. And my second reaction right after that was the NBA didn't need any of this. The NBA didn't need that school. The NBA arguably doesn't need to be in China. What the NBA wants, though, is to grow the game like the planet is a risk board. Like they're playing a capitalist game of empire building. And this is what happens when you deal with an authoritarian government. And in particular, Dan, the northwest part of China, when we last talked, that was the part with the Muslim minorities in question, the Uyghurs, who are in concentration camps, as many as a million of them, right? Forced sterilizations, abortions, all of that. Those are the campers here. And so for the NBA to not be aware at best of what was happening and at worst to turn their head away, it's exactly what Josh Hawley, whether or not his criticism was in good faith or not, this is why there is truth at the bottom of that, because this is an atrocity of human rights that our sport, my favorite sport, didn't need to be involved with at all, but because money is money, they were.
And what is the NBA supposed to say if anyone puts the question to Adam Silver with this as the journalistic peg? Hey, are you aware of what is happening with the largest concentration of religious imprisonment that we have seen since the Holocaust?
Yeah, I mean, Mark Tatum, his deputy, who is the international global NBA guy, said in the story that the NBA wasn't aware of the persecution of the Uyghurs, these Muslim minorities in northwest China, when the league was started in China, when these schools were opened, that is. And look, that defies evidence, because there are plenty of stories when this was all starting about this very thing. It's certainly become louder and louder in recent months, specifically this year, but it's your responsibility. I don't know if there is a good answer to this. There's no good excuse, because this is the NBA logo. And actually, the only good excuse the NBA has, Dan, is that when it comes to China, so many corporations, what they do is that they work with the Chinese government. They work with local authorities under the employ of the Chinese government. This is what these employees were saying in this NBA case in specific. But that's also what so many other corporations do. Think about child abuse in sweatshops, right? When we talk about how sneakers are manufactured, talk about how computer parts are manufactured. All of these things we Americans use and feast on, the conditions of those manufacturing plants, they're not so dissimilar from the moral level than what the NBA was doing in these camps. So the best excuse, honestly, is we are not alone, except that's not absolution. That's actually an indictment that should be bigger than it is.
Thank you. Thank you, Pablo. Appreciate it. Check out ESPN Daily. He's got Fauci on. We appreciate it. Talk to you.
Yeah.
Jeff Passan is reporting that the Marlins have infected others, evidently the Philadelphia Phillies, the team the Marlins were playing when they decided to play, even though they knew a couple of their guys had the coronavirus. The Philadelphia Phillies have canceled workouts today. A coach and a clubhouse attendant have tested positive for the virus. Activities are shut down until further notice, according to the team. Also, the instrument played to suggest that Pablo Torre is highfalutin is the harpsichord.
Oh.
It is, yes, it is a keyboard-based musical instrument like a pipe organ. Amin, help us understand, please, what it is that your reaction was to what Pablo Torre was talking about, this ESPN.com report about the NBA having an abusive camp in China, because that part of China is, well, none of China is free, but that part of China is particularly not free.
Yeah, you know, what Pablo said about the NBA didn't need to be there, I don't know about China as a whole. I think it's obviously a huge profit center for the league, and that's the same for a lot of companies. But that particular part of China, they definitely didn't need to be there. They didn't need to have an academy. That was, it was just going too far. The story goes into how a lot of the corporal punishment is standard in China. I know in Sudan, when I was growing up and going to school, that was regular to be physically disciplined by teachers. So I kind of understood that part. But the big thing for me, Dan, is the idea that now everyone's up in arms about this human rights violations that is happening in this area towards the Muslim population. And we don't ask, why did it start? It started under the auspices of the Chinese government fighting counterterrorism, basically. Under that kind of blanket, oh, we're fighting terrorists. That's why everyone went along with it. And it just goes to show that Islamophobia is a real thing. This idea that we can just call Muslims terrorists and do anything to them, and pretty much the entire world would go along with it. So I'm kind of amused that now all of a sudden people want to get up in arms about something that they co-signed to a long time ago.
What did you make of the specifics of the story, and what do you do with this uneasy relationship that the NBA, which you profit off of, has this relationship with China, which it profits off of?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a middle ground between doing business in China, which McDonald's does, Starbucks does, Microsoft does, Apple, everyone does business in China. I don't know why it's an NBA problem. But when you go deep into that part of China to again, an NBA Academy is not a profit center. In the story, they talk about trying to find the next Yao Ming. That's just ridiculous. And it was unneeded and unnecessary. And for them to support it for as long as they did is probably the most disturbing part, given that how many employees had voiced concerns about the practices going on there.
I mean, thanks for stopping in. We enjoyed your company today. Stu Gatz, we got basketball tonight. Anything you're excited about? Anything? You finally got some basketball tonight. You got the Clippers at the Lakers. And by at the Lakers, I mean in Orlando.
I'm excited to put down a real bet. I mean, this is going to be great. I'm going to bet the guy. I have no idea what I'm going to take, but I am excited. Kawhi, LeBron, real gambling, and we are inching closer to a playoff format. I have no idea what that format is.
Okay, very good. Yep. Do you care about who's the champion again? Because you told us at the beginning of the pandemic you were done. You don't care who the champion is.
Keeping my eye on the bubble, Dan. That's all I'm doing right now. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, great. Get back to me. Can't wait.